Podcast. We are four new mommies beta testing parenthood. This is episode 22 of the podcast where we talk about the things that we are discussing on mommybeta.com, which is a blog which I hope you are frequenting because we work very hard to make that something that other parents can find useful. With us on the line today is Natalie. I am also Natalie, and Alex and Jennifer. Hello, ladies.
Hi, everybody.
We actually got to see each other this week. We had our last first birthday of the first round of baby betas, which was so fun. Jennifer, you did such a great job.
Thank you. We had a lot of fun. I was glad to see Elle had a good time too.
Yeah, she
it was
did.
So cute. Like just the babies all together, and then Jennifer's decorations. You went above and beyond. It was gorgeous.
Thanks. I have to give a shout out to my mom for all of her help. And my dad, he was up that morning blowing up balloons and arranged this pretty awesome centerpiece underneath the gazebo. And my husband and him helped tie this tent up in a big tree out behind our house where they had to get out that ladder that, you know, what's it called? The Little John or something like that. And I put it all the way up. I was hoping the branch wouldn't fall, but they were good sports about it. My husband initially was like, "You're going overboard. You're nuts. People are going to think you're crazy." But everyone seemed to really like it.
No, so, I thought you were crazy.
No, it was beautiful.
Oh, good. So I just put a post up about that with some video. The only thing I was kind of sad about was after the party was that I hadn't really taken as many photos of all of our hard work, of the decorations that I had hoped that I would have wished we had. But, you know, you get caught up in the moment and people are coming in, and so you don't really think about that until afterwards.
I saw some good ones. I thought there was a really good one of your pretty sweets table on Facebook. That one was nice. Maybe you can include that we'll share that on our Facebook page as well, because you had such a nice little setup there. And I was talking to your mom, and she was like, "Why is the punch on the cake plate? That's not where that goes." So you can tell she has such a sense of propriety. It was so sweet. And you're like, "Because I don't want the cake to melt."
Yeah, exactly. I was like, "I don't want the cake to melt. This needs to go somewhere. I couldn't find my stand for my drink dispenser of all days."
And it had to be out of reach because it was champagne punch and the kids were trying to get into it.
Yeah, they were. One of the kids who actually had a little teensy sip, not much, but he was in the kitchen with me when I was making it. I was pouring in the champagne and I was pouring in the lemonade. And I guess I had looked whenever he took a little nip of the punch. But, you know, he's in junior high, so kids why not?
And then he was the life of the party.
Oh, no. He was actually really... I didn't notice any... I think there was a whole lot of water and lemonade in that more than champagne. So, but we had a really good time. I was a little nervous because her nap schedule's changed since I planned the time of the party. But overall, she was really happy. We were really happy. She went all night. And then that night, she slept the whole
night. My favorite part, Jennifer, was when she was kind of fussy as soon as you put her in her high chair right before the cake. And she was whining. And as soon as everybody started singing to her, she got this big, beautiful smile like, "Oh, yay, this is for me."
Oh, that's so cute. It just touches my heart because she just kind of gets that shy, bashful little grin on her face. Like, "Oh, everyone's looking at me and singing to me. I'm going to be my sweet girl." No, I love that part of the video. And I included that video in the blog post. But and all the fun little decorations we did. We did handmade tutus. And I'm going to try to do a blog post on a how-to for that. And we had some really awesome designer for the invitation that I found on Etsy. You can find all kinds of awesome party
Reese loves her tutu, Jennifer, and her little wand. So I can't wait for you to do the how-to. And I'm thinking about it. I mean, people charge like $30 to $60 for tutus. And we got one as a party. Oh, yeah. They're crazy ridiculous. I know, because I purchased one.
Elle got one for her birthday. That's really awesome and purple and really pretty. Where did you get that one? Was that online?
No, I am on Fillmore at... Bubble.
Oh, a little local shop.
Okay. Oh, I love that store.
It's super cute.
They have all the funny t-shirts, like the lock up your daughters and the I love Marina chicks and all
yes.
those funny t-shirts.
Yeah.
Or I only date rock stars.
ABCD, like the ABCD. Yeah. all those cute onesies. But yeah, so if anyone has any questions on where I got things for the party, there should be links on there. But thank you, ladies, for all coming and making Elle's first birthday extra special.
And for the little boys, you had the cutest little favors. It was like a little knight armor where it was a knight hat, a chest plate, a shield, and a sword. So Miles went home with a full-on, we could use it for a Halloween costume if he ever let me put hats on his head, which he doesn't. But that was such a super cute idea. Where did you get those?
That's a secret. Oh. I actually got that from the dollar store.
Oh, really?
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, in Arkansas, they have some pretty awesome things at the dollar store.
Yeah, wow. I can tell you that Dom's a big fan of the sword. He hasn't quite gotten into the rest of the costume, but Sean, my husband, is a huge fan of the chest plate and shield and helmet because he puts it on and pretends to be a gladiator. So
that's pretty hot. Does he have his Halloween costume then?
You know, he doesn't. Maybe he should do that.
Maybe he should
be a princess. And then Dom could be a little alligator dragon.
Yeah, he could be the alligator.
An
aganana.
Yeah, exactly. Well, good. You know, and yeah, they are kind of big for the boys, but I thought it'd be something at least it would be fun for them to grow into. And they are little knights in shining armor, so.
Right.
It's darling. I'm just starting a little bin of like dress up clothes. So I've got a fireman hat and like one other thing. So that's been like the best addition to his little dress up clothes bin. So.
Oh, awesome. My little nephew Brick has his own little dress up bin too, since the girls have all their princess clothes and he's got a Buzz Lightyear and a Woody and a car mechanic and all this crazy stuff. Peter Pan.
I left Miles at my mom's house in the Bay Area because I'm trying to, you know, build up some toys for when we visit, and we visit a good bit. But I wasn't sure if I would be allowed to take that sword on the plane, so that's the only reason.
That's funny. Probably not, huh?
It's crazy. Tricky in security. My mom, I don't know about taking it on the plane, but yeah, my mom had it in her suitcases. She's like, I have some plastic swords in there, so. And they're like, we've never seen that one before.
Just try and take them away from me. Yeah, she'll suit up. Well, I'm glad to hear that you weren't outside welding all of these swords.
Yeah, no, but I would have if I needed to.
And then I have to ask you this question, because I was an emo mess on Miles' first birthday, which I didn't really intend to. I didn't think that I would feel this way, but I was so emotional about like my little boy turning one, and 1 year ago today I was in labor and all of that stuff. Did you get emo at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think it was like weeks leading up to it, because every time I was like doing something for the party, I was thinking, how did we get here? How is it already here? And the night when I put her down, like before bed after her party, you know, just like holding her, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're 1 year, you know, or actually on Tuesday on her actual birthday, I was like, you're one now. You're not going to be, you know, one ever again. And this has been a really special year of your life. And yeah, chokes you up and gets you a little emotional, but I mean, every day is just so fun that, you know, we can all look back then and be thankful for all the awesome memories we've had.
That's for sure. Well, let's go ahead and move on to, let's continue to talk about princess type things, because Alex was posting about Toddlers in Tiaras, which is a show that really boils my blood. Why don't you talk about why you were motivated to write about this show?
I was on a trip visiting my in-laws in Denver, and I had a lot of free time on my hands. And so at night, I ended up watching Toddlers in Tiaras, which is a show about children and their mothers in beauty pageants. And so it was intriguing to me. I'm like, oh, so cute. They're being dressed up as dolls and princesses. The idea was just adorable. You can hear Reese in the background. She wants to be a princess.
She is a princess.
Yeah, most of the time. I just started watching it, and I just got really, like, getting into it. And my husband Josh was watching it with me. We actually had to turn the channel. Just some examples. I mean, these little girls, 2-3-year-olds, getting spray tanned. I was watching clips that, you know, this other child, two kids getting their teeth bleached. Teeth bleached because they need to have perfect white teeth.
They also have the flippers that you put in, you know, for the kids who are older and they've lost like one of their front teeth. They have like the fake teeth they put in.
Right. Yes. I think that looks pretty silly too, but I am not opposed to that. I mean, whatever. But I am opposed to teeth bleaching and I'm opposed to spray tanning, you know, little kids. The one example I gave, I think this one mom had started doing spray tans to her 11-month-old daughter, and she
had
50 times.
The chemicals are horrible for babies.
I was going to say, I mean, if we're nervous about putting sunscreen on these kids, which is like so much more necessary and hopefully well tested than whatever they put in this spray tan crap. Like, right. Are you serious?
It's so ridiculous. So that's just one example. And the teeth bleaching, why would you want to put that stuff in your child's mouth? So I was watching this clip last night, actually. And, you know, because they have all the ridiculous clips online. And the girl's father, I don't know, maybe she was 5, 6. The girl's father walks in to the mother, like trying to get her to open her mouth. And he says, what are you doing? She says, I'm bleaching her teeth. He says, why? She's like, well, she needs to have perfect teeth. You know, and there's just this ongoing battle. And, you know, the dad's not for it and the mom's for it because it's all about winning and you have to win. So I'm borderline, you know, this is cute to ridiculous. This is the last episode that I saw. And again, I don't sit there and watch. I had seen 3 episodes and I watched all these clips. This mom dressed, I think her 3-year-old, I don't know, toddler up as a prostitute, meant to be the Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman.
Oh my God.
Oh yes, yeah.
That's she had the tall one. Boots mm-hmm. and the yellow, like long wig. You know, and a lot of people thought it was really cute. And it was more meant to be sexy. And I was like, oh my God, what are you teaching your toddler? You can tell I'm really like super hyped up about this because I don't agree. And then just watching these children melt down and then having their parents not reprimand them, but saying, you need to behave. Well, I'm sorry, but you got your child up at 5 a.m. to get ready. What do you expect? It's not their fault. It really isn't.
And a lot of these little girls, the way they talk to their parents is really upsetting. Just
oh my gosh, you know, yeah, like, I don't want to do that. And then, like, they'll kick and scream and hit their parents. Not okay.
And well, you know, those that parents just deserve to be hit, in my opinion.
Well, the reason why they're talking to the reason why they talk to their parents like that is because that's how their parents talk to them. You know, it's just a pretty icky cycle.
Right. Yep. And then just what 2 more examples that I've just. Which really wanted, motivated me to write the post is I was watching, I think, an 11-year-old. She was doing cartwheels and gymnastics, and she was just having so much fun. And she's looked in the camera to the cameras, and when she was being interviewed, and said, "I really want to be on the USA women's gymnastics team, but my mom wants me to be in beauty pageants, so I can't practice because I don't have time." I was like, "Oh, that was just heartbreaking." It'd be different if she said, "Oh my gosh, I love beauty pageants, and this is what I want to do," but her real wish was to, you know, do gymnastics. So I just felt so awful for her. And then this one mother told her toddler, this isn't good enough because she won 3rd place. We need to throw the trophy away.
It's like, oh, my God.
So as you can imagine, I'm so furious with this show and I'm not watching it. I'm boycotting it.
Have you ever seen the one? I follow it only on the mommy blogs. And when the other mommy bloggers get upset, then I watch the clips and I get so enraged that I want to put my foot through my computer screen. But I watched the one where they wax her eyebrows and the little girl is screaming and she's like, "Please, I don't want to. It hurts." And the mother's like, "Sit still. We're waxing your eyebrows." And they, you know, rip hair off of her, the little girl's face.
That makes me want to cry.
It makes me want to hurt the mom. I mean, I have a really visceral reaction to this in a negative way. And I did a beauty pageant when I was 5. I was Little Miss Fremont, and I won.
Got a girl.
That's probably where you know me from. and, you know, my mom just said, because I was in Baton at the time, and my Baton studio said, you know, there's this competition. If you guys want to enter, that would be fine. But we didn't actually have to perform. It was just, we stood on stage in some nice dresses, and then they brought us up to the microphone and asked one question and said, why do you want to do this? And my mom had prompted me before, and she just said, well, just say, you know, something like, that's my first contest, and it'd be nice to win. And that's exactly what I said, verbatim. I was always meant to be a broadcaster. And so,
how old were you?
5. I was
5. Sorry.
Yeah. And so, and I won. And when they called my name, I couldn't really believe. And all I did was, like, I did a little bit of modeling after that, and I did a float in one parade. And then my mom was like, do you want to keep doing this? And I was like, no, I'm not really into it. And that was the end of it. And,
but it's so great how supportive your mom was.
Right. Like, and you know, if I didn't want to do it, she was, you know, she said, if you know, and it was mostly like through my baton studio. And if I wanted to keep doing it, then that would have been fine. I didn't like the modeling. I didn't have patience for it. And so she didn't force it, and that was the end of it. So, you know, I can see how, like, there might be something, and you think my kid's super cute, and maybe I'll enter them and see what happens. But getting really carried away with it, can you imagine having so little control in your own house that you'd be one of these dads who can't stop your crazy wife from torturing mm-hmm. your kid like this?
Some of the dads are really into it.
Yeah, some of them are even more than the moms on this show. And I was talking to Alex the other day because – not like you. I grew up doing pageants. I'm from the South, so there are a lot more pageants in the South than I think maybe in California. Maybe not, but I enjoyed it. There's a difference between these types of pageants. These types of pageants weren't around when I was growing up. I frequented the local small town little pageants like Miss Rice and Junior Miss Crawfish and all those.
Isn't that the title that you hold?
Oh, yes, one of them.
She holds all kinds of titles, girls. You have no idea.
Glamorous.
I want to see the collection.
Oh yeah, they're back home. But anyways, the point was, is it was, you know, it was fun to get dressed up. There was no spray tanning, there was no fake hair, there was no, you know, costumes like they're wearing today, and just getting up at 5 a.m. in a whole production. It wasn't that. It was just fun. Little girls got to get dressed up, and you know, we knew how to model, but we weren't doing these routines that they're doing these days. So this is a glam pageant, I guess what they call them these days. And then they're also both, I think, probably glam or glitz. And then there's the, you know, natural pageants, which I still feel are a little even above the, like, the hometown kind of pageants, which is really what, well, I did when I was smaller.
Now, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but how did you feel? Did you, it wasn't making you feel like sexy at, you know, preschool age, right? It
was just, never.
You felt beautiful and special and feminine, right?
I just liked getting on a stage. What can I say?
And how was your mom? I'm guessing super supportive.
Yeah. My mom was supportive, you know, she was great. I love my mom. She's been there for me throughout my whole life. And I really do feel like pageants gave me a sense of confidence and helped me, you know, in presenting myself to people and that kind of thing.
That's awesome.
Because I, you know, learned how to interview and all that stuff. So that was nice. But, like, the pageants were really big back in the, I think, the 80s and 90s, too. I mean, the little pageant, Little Miss Bluebonnet that I was in had, like, 100 little girls in it in my little town. Yeah.
Wow.
Which I claim the title of, I have to say. But, you know, it was fun. But, I mean, so there's a big difference here. You know, I wasn't feeling the pressure, get on the stage and brush your hair, you know, and all that stuff.
Get your eyebrows waxed.
Never waxed my eyebrows, never spray tan, never any of this crazy stuff. It was just hairspray and lipstick and, you know, fun, pretty little dresses.
Yeah, and I say it in the post, and I'll say it again. I'm not opposed to pageants. I'm opposed to some of the parents in the antics they've chosen to use on their children to win.
Yeah. I do not agree with the show one bit. It's built on drama. That's why we all get sucked in to watch it. So
yeah.
I feel for the little children on here. I mean, the girl in California here, I don't know if it was toddlers and tiaras, but you know, the girl who was injected with Botox, she was 10 years old.
Oh, yeah.
By her mom, who rightfully so, she was taken from her. But yeah, it's just these moms on these shows need to take a good look at themselves and need to get in the gym and need to make themselves happy and stop trying to live that fairy tale for their children.
Amen.
Right. Like, I mean, because you think like these little girls are clean slates, right? They're not, they don't have wrinkles, they don't have gray hair, they don't have any spare tires, you know, they're just... they're a fresh slate. So you think, oh, you know, this is what I would be without, you know, life sort of wearing life on my face. And so they put their kids first. And I was, you know, I competed in dance for 12 years. So I was around these kind of moms who were just pushy and the moms who knew the routine better than their child did. And you have to keep practicing. And, you know, I mean, these were pretty intense parents, dance moms that I had been around, that I grew up. So I know the archetype, and I just don't feel any motivation to be that mom at all.
No. If you guys have some spare time or just you want to continue to be outraged, I included the top 10 controversial parents on the show. I mean, I only watched one. It's not, I mean, I don't even want to give them any more screen time on my computer. Yeah. But it,
well, I will say probably one of the positive things about the show is hopefully it makes these parents take a hard look at themselves and say, wow, I'm really like that, you know?
I don't think it does, though, because... Yeah.
You don't? Well, it seems like a lot of people, and I know this is no comparison, who, like, go on Bachelor Pad or The Bachelor, kind of just like, wow, I do kind of look crazy. Maybe I need to fix something there, you know?
But I've seen some of these whack parents on, like, Today Show or something like that, and they just stand there, they justify their behavior, and they're like, well, this is pushing her to be a better person, and we believe in it, and the show is edited for drama, and you don't get to see how it really is, you know, they justify their behavior in a way that you think they're not really learning anything from this show, they're just making enemies, basically.
I see.
But who knows, maybe some of them will then stop being such awful people.
When people start looking at them and giving mean looks.
But you have to think about it. These are people who are after attention for their kids. They're going to be okay with attention for their whole families. That's, you know, yeah, that's why they're doing this. So,
right.
I don't know. And what do you think, Nat, about the little boy pageants? Because you do see little boys in there.
Yeah, I've only seen a couple episodes that have little boys. I don't know. I just feel like there's probably a better use of their time. You know, and unless it's really what they're into, but I can't see me ever putting Dominic in a pageant.
Yeah, the one little one that I saw, the little boy on there, he was totally into it. He was way into it than the girls. I mean, he had all the moves down, was probably giving his mom advice. So you could tell it was something he really wanted to do.
Yeah, well, more power to those, I guess, little boy. I mean, it takes a lot of confidence for a little boy to do that. So I have no derision about what that might be like. So who knows? What I do know is that mommybeta.com. Oh, someone's getting a phone call. I was going to say, what I do know is that mommybeta.com is brought to you by gazelle.com, and we want to thank our show sponsor for their support. This week is iPhone 4S launch, so it's a big week in consumer electronics, and so it's a good time to think about trading in your electronics, whether you've got an iPhone 4 or an older version or any other phone that you think it's time to get rid of. Go to gazelle.com, and they will give you the value of that gadget and then help you send it to them. Either they'll help you print a shipping label right then and there, or they'll send you a box if the thing is too big to just pop in the post office. And they make it super easy for you. They'll send you a PayPal payment, a check in the mail if that's what you prefer, or give you the value of that item on Amazon.com. Last week, Gazelle, even before the iPhone 4S was officially announced, saw a record number of iPhone 4s being traded in because people want to get the most value for that. And the iPhone 4S is only $199 rather. So you can get $200 for your iPhone 4 now. And then if you're eligible for the subsidy, get your upgraded iPhone basically for free. Just use that $200. So
it's didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I mean, you have to be eligible for your upgrade because
AT&T I'm eligible.
Will only give you the subsidy once every 2 years, I think, or maybe once every year.
Right. My husband and I rotate. I take one upgrade. I go for one model and then he gets the next model and I get a model and he gets a model. So it's nice.
Yeah. So, you know, the 4S has some really great things, and one especially great thing is the 1080 high-resolution camera. So the camera on the iPhone 4 is 720. This is going to be even better than that. And Clayton was like, oh, I'm so worried because all of Miles' first year is on 720. I'm like, knock it off, because it's still high definition.
So. Same way. He's getting some gray hairs over there.
I know. That's really something he should be worried about. Like, the video is going to be fine. You know, it's not like it was shot on a whatever millimeter, no sound movie camera, but nevertheless. But, you know, you don't have to be trading in an iPhone. You can trade in anything you want on gazelle.com, and we thank them so much for their support. Okay, moving on. Natalie, you've been talking about toddlers' books, and there was one in particular that you found particularly offensive. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, so we actually got this book a couple months ago, and I've been meaning to write this post. We go to Tahoe every year for 4th of July, and Dominic's grandmother bought him this super cute little book. It's called Toby, A New Home for Toby the Lake Tahoe Bear. And it's really cute. There's this really cute little bear on the cover. And, you know, you read through the story and it's going along. It's really sweet. And, you know, they're exploring Tahoe, Toby and his mom. And then all of a sudden, completely out of the blue, you see Toby's mom on the shore of Lake Tahoe with being surrounded by park rangers with guns pointed at her. And the next page is her, like, tranquilized with, like, darts sticking out of her. And then the next page is her being hauled away, like, looking like she's dead in the back of this truck. So, I mean, it just comes totally out of the blue. It's not explained at all. And it just doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand why someone would put this storyline in a children's book. I mean, okay, fine, maybe, you know, some of the comments on the blog post are, you know, it's teaching kids how to deal with adversity and the bear ends up fending for himself and he's fine. And that's all well and good and that's true. And I actually thought about, you know, okay, well, maybe this is a valuable lesson for Dominic. Maybe I shouldn't, you know, skim over this page when we're reading the book. But then I started thinking about it more, and the problem with this particular story for me is there's lack of context. It doesn't ever explain why this happened, the mama bear, or what really is happening. She's just basically taken away. And the image itself of the mama bear with the darts in her being surrounded by these park rangers who look, you know, kind of like policemen, is just really disturbing to me. And it was fine when Dominic was littler and, you know, he didn't really understand what was going on. But now he points at this page and asks what's going on. And I can't explain it to him. I don't know what to say. So I actually think I'm going to tear this page out of the book because the rest of the book is really cute. But this is, it just goes too far for me. I understand trying to teach kids life lessons, but this isn't the way to do it. What do you guys think?
Well, I think, yeah, it seems pretty extreme, especially if you can't explain why they're doing that. Just, yeah, sometimes people kill mommies. That's not really a good explanation.
Yeah, watch out for policemen. They might to kill your mommy and take her away, you know? Like, it just doesn't seem like the kind of lesson I want to be teaching him.
You know, sometimes in life, Dominic, people kill your mommy, and then you'll be okay from then on. And
well, they're just tranquilizing, right? It's not necessarily. Yeah.
But they take her away, right? And he doesn't get her
sometimes
back away.
Mommy needs to go to sleep. She needs to calm down.
Don't tase me, bro.
And this had reminded me of the new Maurice Sendak book, which I haven't seen, but I read about it recently because he's the author of Where the Wild Things Are. So he released a new book just a few weeks ago called Bumble Artie. And the plot of this book is that a little pig has to throw his own birthday party because his parents are sent off to the slaughterhouse.
That's so
wow.
Which doesn't sound to me like a good premise for a children's book. But again, I don't want to judge because I haven't read it, but it sounds horrid.
Wow.
Yeah.
Facts of life. Facts.
Yeah, and that's another thing that I don't want my child to think, you know, sometimes your parents will be slaughtered and then you have to, I don't know what the lesson is in that. And maybe it's a sweet birthday party in the end that the pig has a nice time despite adversity. I don't know. I don't see the value. You know, there's nothing we can do to prevent our kids from eventually learning that the world is a cruel place.
Exactly.
But I don't know if this is the right way to do that.
Yeah, that makes me sad just thinking about it.
I know.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, somebody mentioned the movie Bambi in the comments of my post. And, you know, there's that movie and then there's Charlotte's Web, which is all about, you know, the pig potentially being taken off to slaughter. So I guess, you know, these are lessons to be taught, you know, about death and separation and those sorts of things. I just think that it really matters how it's done and that it's done with sensitivity and done in a way that kids can understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And those conversations are going to come. I think, like Natalie Morris was saying, you know, there's enough of that that they're going to get plenty of that later on. So,
and that might be more of an elementary school book versus a toddler book.
Right, because then at least they can talk about it with the teacher and other kids and know what the appropriate response is. Right.
Right.
It, just because you're a parent doesn't mean you're a childhood development expert. You know, already we're going to have to answer hard questions about the penis and that kind of thing. I don't really want to talk about, like, the possibility that you'll be orphaned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I will admit that I think that the Toby book that I wrote about is geared toward older kids. But, you know, the beginning of the book starts with them running away from a forest fire and the forest fire having destroyed their home. So I think that's enough drama, you know, like I don't think you need to also have the mom tranquilized and hauled away. So I think we're going to just tear out a couple of pages.
You know, it's interesting. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
My initial thought reading about Natalie's summary was maybe this is for the bigger kids who are, like, scared of bears and want to know that they're protected. And if the bear comes after them, we can take care of the bear.
Or it'll make people scared of bears or hate bears.
Or those little kids who live in Tahoe and they say, see, bears, we can make bears go to sleep and they won't hurt
thing. Yeah, maybe. Maybe that was what she was going for.
And I was trying to figure out this week whether or not I should take Miles on a haunted hayride, because that's Halloween is here and it's time for that. And that seems to be a big thing on the East Coast is haunted hayrides. I'd never even heard of them in California. Have you guys?
No.
A haunted hayride. So you get in the back of like a tractor type thing, and it's a hay tractor, and they drive you through a field where they have these, I guess, kind of tent areas where like scary people jump out, and there's pumpkins and scarecrows and ghosts and witches, and I guess it's pretty scary. I've never done it before, but Clayton, my husband, said he did it a lot when he was a child with his friends. So we found one, and I called to ask about it, and they said we don't recommend this for kids under 7. And I thought, well, Miles doesn't really understand fantasy, so he might not understand that, you know, someone with like a fake bloody face is scary, because he doesn't associate blood with scary yet.
Right.
But the other little boy we're going with is 2, so he will understand
that. Oh, yeah.
Scary. So then I thought, no, we probably just shouldn't do that. We'll just pass.
And sometimes I noticed on our mother's club that there was there's an event at a haunted house. It's a no monsters event. So basically it's a haunted house, but it's like totally toned down for the little kids for this one day. It's, you know, that all the monsters are sleeping party, and they can go through this haunted house, but it's, you know, just kind of more mellow and no monsters for, you know, scary nightmares, that sort of thing. Maybe there's something like that around you that's kind of something that's more geared toward the little ones, so you could kind of still have the experience, but it not having, you know, those lasting horrible effects.
Yeah, and I found a site that searches for haunted hayrides and haunted houses, and I found one that's different that says it's more child-friendly.
Perfect.
Rather than the one where, like, they jump out at you with chainsaws, which I guess is probably not. I mean, I did, when Miles was 7 months, I took him to Disneyland, and we went on the haunted house ride. But he didn't understand that it was fantasy or that it was even supposed to be scary. A ghost is the same thing as a person to him.
Right.
But I think probably in a year that might traumatize him.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe hopping on just the back of a regular hayride. I'm sure they have those. Or taking him to the pumpkin patch.
Yeah.
The great pumpkin might be as scary as he wants for a while.
I mean, those haunted hayrides. Like there's a haunted house here in Pennsylvania, not too far from here, at the prison state penitentiary, which is known to be haunted anyway, which is supposed to be one of the best haunted houses in the country, and I'm too scared to go there. So I'm not going to be, I think I'm going to have to, though, because Clayton's really into that kind of thing. But I probably...
Oh, yeah, is this for the paranormal report?
Just because he wants to. And there's been some episodes about that on Ghost Hunters, that Pennsylvania... Philadelphia State Penitentiary. Ooh. Or something. So if you don't hear from me in 5 minutes...
Oh, gosh.
Scary. Hey, I think there's a Best Western that's haunted in in Pennsylvania, too. So if you're making your way...
Harry.
Did some PR for that.
Why would you want to stay at a haunted hotel? I don't know. I'm sorry. That doesn't appeal to me at all.
Clayton does. He wants to.
Oh, there's this new show on TV. It's called American Horror Story. Has anybody seen it?
No.
It's the mom from Friday Night Lights, Tammy Taylor.
It looks so scary.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We watched the first one, and I liked it, but I cannot. We took the series recording off because I keep thinking about it, and I'm really, really terrified by it. It's if you're into scary, it's awesome, but it was too much for me.
Yeah.
But it has kind of like a weird baby storyline, and I think maybe that's what was getting me. Like, I couldn't think about the weird baby storyline. So it might not be great for mommies, but maybe Clayton would be into it because it's pretty cool.
All right.
We watched The Walking Dead too. That's pretty good.
Oh, I just finished the first season of that. Yeah.
And that's, we did too.
Again,
really
not for
enjoyed
babies.
It. Yeah. So.
All right. Scary stuff. I guess we've been off on a little bit of a tangent, but it is Halloween. So maybe we can post about Halloween next week in our Halloween plans. It'd be a good theme episode. Yeah. But make sure that you are visiting mommybeta.com regularly because we have a lot of fun things that we're giving away, including a cute little book. We've got, let's see, the Tyler Florence book coming up. We've got lots of stuff that we test and recommend and just give away to you for being loyal listeners. So we appreciate your time and eyeballs. Does anyone have a little victory? I think Alex might want to share one.
Sure. So Reese has been walking for a few weeks now, and I feel bad saying this, training her, or rather, let's say she's learning to help out in the kitchen. So she will take out I'll open the dishwasher. She'll take out the forks and spoons and bring them to me. And after each meal, she brings one item, whether it's a spoon or an empty bowl or her bib, to the kitchen and puts it in the sink.
That's cute. Really cute.
Good girl. Got a good little helper.
She can come over to our house anytime.
Perfect. And then we do high fives after.
Oh, that's cute.
That is really cute. I think it's important to give them a sense of responsibility for, you know, either what they're eating or what they're playing with.
Oh, yeah. We're starting young.
Yeah. Very good. So cute. Good job, little Miss Reese. She gets a gold star for being a good helper.
Oh, we're doing stickers right now.
Oh, cute.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. It was good to chat with you girls and good to see you again on Sunday. We will be back next week with another episode of the Mommy Beta Podcast, and we hope to see you right here on the internet. So bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
You and me, happy as can be, flying through the park on our bikes on a Sunday afternoon. You and me, rolling on the floor, practicing your somersaults, your cartwheels, your donkey kicks and more. How did you grow so big overnight? How did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms, today you're growing off the charts. So proud of you. You and me drawing pictures wild and free while the paint goes flying. Your big smile, it brightens up the room. You and me reading books in bed, your head on my shoulder, your eyes on the pages ahead. How did you grow so big overnight? How did you get so smart and bright?